Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
More about the heart of leadership than the heart of leadership. What their power does is that you can make their
welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us tonight. So, friends, no matter if you're the preacher, the usher, or the owner, or the cook, no matter the role, you have a purpose, and your role is to be a leader in that purpose. Our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue in his call in our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. You know, what is cue? C-U-E is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, isolated people in building a wall, building a way of life around into Jerusalem. He cued them up. C-U-E. C is for common ground. It is what can we agree on, the why. U, unified thought. It's what is the vision can be shared is really the what. And then E, equally yoked. What is the game plan? What does success look like? And what's my role in it? What we need to do in order to get it done. So Q leadership integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as the model and helping us do two things. Get people to trust us. And two, get people to follow us. Discipleship. And so that, in a sense, Q leadership is to help raise some transformation leaders for this time and age. So, Lord, we want to start off with the prayers I always do. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you once again in order to bring your word to our audience, to our friends around leadership. Lord, we lead and bless this ministry, our audience, and all that are serving you. We know that Q is your brainchild and our calling, but we honor you today by doing those two things, giving you the glory and serving this generation through Q and raising transformation leaders. As your word says in Romans 12:2, tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our ministry is, Lord, use our ministry to complete this purpose, align, equip, and transform some transformation leaders for your glory. So help us hear the call, receive the call, and raise those leaders, gatekeepers, and transformation leaders. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So our show here is simple, to have a dialogue, have a communication about leadership based in God's word, equip leaders with a roadmap and tap into that faith in building trust and building discipleship, and highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference, who can testify to God's glory, and who are being transformational in the spaces where they are. Our show here is not to criticize, but to shine a light on some truth and love. It's not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And it's not to focus on the mere symptoms of a problem, but the root of those problems. And we try to treat the infections rather than runny nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open and that we hear the Lord and not me. Have the right questions. And no matter the differences, remember that this life is about love. And there is maybe some differences of opinions, and we welcome that. And let us be what a true transformation leader that we honored last week. Dr. King said, let us agree without being disagreeable. And at the end of the day, let's be thought partners in this. So as we kicked off the new year, the new beginning, it was a starting line of sorts. We took inventory of ourselves a couple of shows ago where we were in life. Were we walking in purpose or not? Were we serving selfishly or not? Were we impacting a generation or not, or just really making a difference or not? And if it was the latter, the or not, our leadership may be toxic. And to understand that, we kicked off a three-part series called Toxic Leadership, Who Me? If someone accused you of toxic leadership, that's usually the first question, who me? Part one was really confronting the reality. We kicked off with the show with the Smith Brothers discussion, this odorless, tasteless arsenic. We compared it to one of the poisons of choice during the 17th century and beyond, and it was used for cruel intentions, including the change of leadership, and it was the poison of kings and the kings of poison. You know, that's not much defense as these toxins because they're really silent killers, but the question was, What are the toxins of the world that affect us economically, educationally, socially? Those things that we can see, hear, feel, and touch, like our culture, watch our movies, our television, things we see each and every day. And with our special guest of the Smith Brothers, we took inventory of those events of 2013 where we asked, was this leadership or not? Determining how much of this we were consuming, and was really trying to be honest if we were birthing the same, really giving the world the more of what we consume. So, friends, I submit to you that the one thing that was true, the one toxin that consistent, no matter what affected society, is leadership. And so that failure in leadership is at the root of these challenges, and that toxic leadership is all around us. So during that first show, we heard a varied but consistent, for the most part, views on the events and leaders of today and how leadership impact our society. As we start off with the definition, it was a disorderly or incorrectly functioning organ that really impact our societal ecosystem, which included economic, social, education, and political. And so we picked up some of those things that impact and made an imbalance in our society, these toxins that impact us unfavorably. So politically, we kicked up, just to recap real quickly, we picked up on the political end, we looked at two politicians on both sides of the aisle, Anthony Weiner and Ted Cruz. Economically, we discussed the failure leadership in a lot of corporations and really discussed that there are some leaders that are ill-equipped and surround themselves with their own amen corner and some co-signers on every move, not necessarily those that challenge those. Educationally, we didn't focus on the negative, but rather a life of Antoinette Tough, who gave a child some hope and protected him from, actually convinced him not to shoot up a school in suburban Atlanta on last year. And socially, we talked about legalization of marijuana, which has been on the news all the last couple weeks, and we talked about the crack-smoking mayor in Toronto. But the best discussion came from about the new show, Preachers of L.A., which our topic of toxic leadership really took flight, and our guests really turned it as, in one word, foolishness. You know, one quote that summed up the show, it was Brother Nehemiah Smith. He said, the church gave the world order, and the world did not give the church order. And the world just perverted the order that it was given, and that perverted order that the world uses, the church has to allow it to stay within the world, stay with the world. And that's really it. That perverted order is the toxin. And that's how we confront the reality, that it caused a disorder within our society, imbalances with the unfavorable thing that creates this illness in our society. And that perverted leadership exists in our homes, our schools, our businesses, and damaging really the very fabric of what we call in our societal ecosystem. So since we confronted the reality, we tackled part two series, assessing the disease, the impact, the damages on us. As we assess that disease, that harm for deviation, that perverted order had some signs and symptoms. You know, how did this perversion happen? How do we know when we see it? And then thirdly, what does this perverted order birth? What does it create in that? So we tackled that. To answer that, we went to the beginning, the origin of the perverted order, the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit and led to the fall of man. The question was, how did this happen? The seed, managed perversion. The great deceiver Satan cooked up a cocktail disguised in some truth of the Word of God and some not. And that blatant denial of a divine pronouncement from God with some crafty words around it that appealed to the flesh and not the spirit of Eve and as well as Adam. And how did we know when we see it? There was three parts to it we picked up, and we definitely welcome you going back and looking at the show, but I just want to kind of sum those up. Good for food. It was good for consuming. It's a little bite, one hurt, as we always say. The second was pleasing to the eye, and is how temptation really starts, and you know we hear the word now is eye candy in a sense. And the third aspect was gaining wisdom, being on the same level with God. And that whole deception affected that order of some sacred divine garden. Really, it was in pure communion, a fellowship with God. It was in harmony with God. And that really just caused that whole element to impact what this order the Lord had put in place. And so when we see it, I mean, what does the perverted order birth? What does it create? Really more of the same. where Satan, we toil, we combat, we're subjected to the same deception each and every day. We pain as he cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, as pains, and they continue to toil, their survival, that whole depression, all those things that ails each and day came forth. And one of the things that Adam and Eve birthed was Cain, who ended up killing Abel. And so what was that perverted order birthing today? We talked about this whole shift in the culture, what we're fighting about, this shift in this generation, from which includes young and old. What the world tells us is about me. It's about me now. And we need these transformational leaders, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, to shift this momentum. And Lord calls us really to be one to another, where we are our brother's keeper, and Lord doesn't bless us just for ourselves. Never in the word is always in order to pack those around you. And this whole me now culture create this idleness where we're sitting back and doing nothing in political correctness or in necessarily fear. And so we picked up those elements. And this week, you know, we complete the series, and it's part three, the detox, how to detox. After we confronted the reality, we assessed the dis-ease of this toxic leadership in our current day culture, and understanding that perverted order that's in place, and really, how do we discuss that? How do we detox from these damages it's caused? And to help answer that question, you really, who me, helping us with that is a good friend of mine, and you would definitely be blessed to hear him today. Is Reverend Wiley Thornton, pastor Perfecting Holiness Non-Denominational Church of Greenville, Alabama. He will join us tonight and share his perspective on how to detox. Understand, you confronted it, you assessed it, you know what it is, know what it looks like, know what it tastes like, but now how do you detox? So after the break, we'll bring on Reverend Wiley Thornton and continue to talk with us on that toxic leadership, who me. So during the break, stay with us, call and log in and share your thoughts on some of those symptoms. Stay with us. Can't afford to miss this. We're taking calls, of course, and welcome you to log in at Blog Talk Radio and On Cue. Call us at 310-861-2331. And once you log in, please raise your hand to ask a question, and my assistant here, will see you raise your hand and bring you right in. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you. Please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue. How do you lead a people who are scarred, who are broken, who are desperate?
You lead them where they are, by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Hope is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You are listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is to equip leaders to lead where they are by getting us on cue with God's will and His purpose for us. Follow us at Twitter at Cue Leadership. We are taking calls, of course. If you'd love to, we'd love to hear from you on Blog Talk Radio, and call us at 310-861-2331. Friends, of course, we'd love to hear from you. So today's question, as in this end of this three-part series, Toxic Leadership, Who Me, we are focused on how to detox from this perverted order that we discovered as that impacts our society. Essentially, is your leadership perverted? And it's a tough question, tough thing to stomach. But of course, understanding that if it's not in order with the Lord Almighty, it may be. Have you confronted that reality? And what disease is that perverted order having on you, and how to fix it? In other words, how to detox. And to guide us on what we bring in, a great man of God who is leading where he is, please welcome Reverend Wiley Thornton, pastor of Perfecting Holiness Non-Denominational Church of Greenville, Alabama. Pastor Washington Thornton, thanks for joining us.
God bless you, Brother Eric. Glad to be
thank
with you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. I was thinking about my good friend in Fort Worth, and I said Washington, so forgive me there for that. Good. So how's your day today?
Oh, it was great, man. Awesome time at church. Had the opportunity to baptize several people. So, man, God is still moving.
He's still moving. That's a good day. That is absolutely a good day. So Reverend Thornton, I always start with the show with all our guests and ask this question, a couple questions. The second one I probably want to ask because we already should know the answer. But the first one is, you know, what is that one word that describes you?
I would like to think that one word is faithful. You know, the Bible tells us that God counted us faithful in putting us in the ministry. And I think that it is a privilege and an honor to represent the Lord Almighty. So I believe that whatever we put our hands to, that we should be faithful to it as well as excellent in carrying it out.
Amen to that. So not only once you start it, you need to finish it. And then understand times get tough, you go right back to the source, right, in order to be excellent in that. Amen to that. You know, so I'll go ahead and ask you the question since I want to be consistent. Money is no issue. What would you do every day?
Man, full-time ministry, brother. Just
full-time
carry the gospel
ministry
of Jesus Christ, serve the community, serve the church, man, and go out and make an impact in our community, in the world around us.
Right, and so absolutely, and we're gonna pray that's be in the works at some time soon, right? That's what we're going to pray
Amen.
For. I think it's the same way for me. If someone asked me that question, it'll probably be the same answer at the end of the day. Continue to take his word and his ministry beyond what we can even think about. So as before we really jump into the subject matter, tell us about Perfecting Holiness Non-Denominational Church, and what would you want our friends listening to know?
Well, we've been in existence about almost 2 years now, and we set out to be a Christ-centered church, spirit-led church, a body of believers who are growing in our faith and have a commission to share the gospel, and we have a motto to where we learn, live, love, and lead. You know, that's what we would like the people to know, that we are a family-oriented church, that God is first. It's about the message, not about the messenger. So we're all about glorifying and uplifting the name of Jesus.
Amen to that. Can you go back to those L's there? You said learn, lead.
Learn, live, love, and lead.
Amen, and lead. And those things, that's where you're sharing your gospel with those that are surrounding you. So when you started this, what needs or gaps did you recognize that need to be served?
Well, based on the area that we are ministering in, that we've been called to, it's a lot of traditional churches, and we don't have anything against traditional churches, but we believe that there were a group of people with a mindset like our own, that we didn't want to be confined to tradition, that we wanted to pave our own path when it comes to serving God and worshiping God and creating a new paradigm for that area to address issues that it seemed like other churches has been ignoring for years.
For years. And ultimately give people that opportunity to learn, live, love, and lead where they are, in a sense, right?
Correct.
Good. So as you've gone through them, I'm just going to follow back. In your 2 years, though, you know, what has been your biggest challenge, and what have been you most happy about in that during that time?
Yeah, well, our biggest challenge is to transform the minds of the people from church to ministry, and getting
mm-hmm.
people to understand that church is not a one-man show. Where you call one man in, he teaches and leads, but it is a team effort where everybody has a gift, everybody has a role, and just to convince the people not to be pew warmers, but get out and be active and get their hands dirty in ministry, you know. And one of the greatest things we have accomplished is just creating a church of people who are praying, who are interceding, who are standing in the gap for those who are going through, and who is really exhibiting the love of Christ to all of our visitors and everybody around that neighborhood.
Amen to that. Standing in the gap. I love that. So essentially transforming the minds and from church to ministry. That is absolutely powerful. And as we always start with our show, going from, you know, the base in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by renewing of your mind and spirit. That is absolutely powerful, and it's needed, and no matter where we are. And I think that's probably true more than just Greenville, Alabama, when you think.
Yeah, sure. Very much so.
Absolutely. So jump into some of the subject matter a little bit. You know, okay, before we move on, what else would you would like to know, the audience to know about your ministry beyond what we just talked about? Because I imagine I just don't want to lose that opportunity, because I imagine our subject matter is going to get pretty good, and we may be remiss to go back and capture a few things, right?
Yeah, well, I would like for the listeners to know that we are a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-living church, and we do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, but we also believe in him returning and preparing the church for his return and to warn the nations that he is going to return.
Amen to that. And definitely he is going to return. That's why we hear it, in order to transfer the minds of those who we need. He needs to be serving, right? So when we tackled this subject starting a few weeks ago, of course we took a break last week to honor our transformational leader that we all know and love, and has probably no question, no matter where you are on this earth, that Dr. King was one of those. You know, where the quote of the day came from the first show, where you I think you just hit on a little while ago. So we were talking about the preachers of L.A., and just honestly, not to, you know, tear the show down. It is what it is. It's just, you know, we're entitled to an opinion or not. But, you know, the quote was, why are we trying to elevate a man and not elevate the man? You know, we were trying to understand if the man of God was being glorified in this show, and was not about the man, but the preachers. The show was, in a sense, our thought was a word rather than the word. Another quote that came up was from Brother Nehemiah about the toxin, that told about the church gave the world order, and the world did not give the church order. And so this whole notion of what the toxin is, this perverted order that the world has, need to stay there with the world. It is the toxin, and what and allowing us to confront this reality. You know, what's your thought on this? It can be on the show, or it can be just based on, hey, this whole perverted order we're talking about that infects our society.
Well, I think when it comes to the preachers of L.A., I do think that it was a lot of foolishness involved in it. But also at the same time, God revealed to us that we can't put our trust and our confidence in men. And I believe that what the show did was reveal to people that behind the scene, that we are building idols in the pulpit. And one of the reasons why we are building idols in the pulpit, because the pulpit has lost the mindset of being a servant, and they have embraced a messianic mindset. And what happens is that prevents the people from seeing God in the person, but seeing the man as God, and not seeing the God in the man, you know. And so what that does to me with Preachers of L.A., it gave me a yearning to be a righteous minister. It gave me a desire to exemplify the Lord Jesus Christ in a righteous way, so that the people who buy into Preachers of L.A. realize that there is a alternative to this which we see.
Yeah, amen to that. So it comes to the point of, you know, my question, how I started, Pastor, I know the Lord's word doesn't come back void, right? And that's what I struggle with. I was trying to understand if it was there something. And in your mind, as you said, where that revelation that there is an alternative, and that no longer we should be building these idols to ourselves, that is probably, in your mind, do you see that being the word coming back to us, in a sense?
Yeah, that's what I think, you know, because I really and truly believe that this mega church movement, I believe that it was a move of God, but it was handled the wrong way. And instead of this mega church movement elevating Jesus, it elevated man. And instead of giving God the platform, it gave the platform to man, you know. And so now because of that, I believe that the same platform that God built for himself, that he's about to tear it down and expose it so that those who are really seeking truth can find a place where they can find truth, and, you know, and truth uncompromised.
Truth uncompromised. Wow. What does it take? You know, I know the Lord has his own way of managing them. What is that one thing that's going to help people confront the reality? What's going to shock them? Is it something going to be shocking or something going to be pleasant? I'm not asking you to predict the future or anything of that nature, but what are those things that will allow people to confront that reality that this is what we're taking in?
Well, I think when they realize that what's being preached and it's not bringing about change. You know, the Bible talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know, and that's that outward godliness without inward change. You know, and I think that it's going to take a truly desired change. You know, who is sick and tired, as the old saying goes, of being sick and tired. You know, and people who really want God, not his hand, but his face, don't want the things of God, but want God himself. Because the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be fed. And I do believe that there are the righteous people that God is bringing up who's seeking him for who he is and want true transformation, want true change in their life, and not just in their life, but in the church, in their community, and in the world abroad.
Amen. You know, I had a show about a couple months ago talking about change and transformation, and I just want to get your view on how I define it in a sense. It's where you know, I talked about leadership, always, of course, in a leadership perspective. Are you the chameleon or the butterfly? A chameleon can change environment, change and go with flow with the environment. Right, can in all ways
right.
Can revert back to where they are. But if you change into that butterfly, you go to a certain metamorphosis, right? You go through a whole breaking
right.
of change internally. You become out something new and beautiful. You can't go back to it. And so that is what you're talking about when it comes not only just the people but the churches and those in order to really transform their lives so that understanding, yeah, you understand where you came from, that ugly caterpillar, then that cocoon,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately understanding that whole majesty the Lord has for us can come through that butterfly.
Amen. And I think that's what we're seeking for is transformation. But based on just being in ministry, I think that a lot of people have more problem with transition than they do change. Because change is a decision, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But transition is how you carry out that change. Change
mm-hmm.
can be external, but transition is internal. And it's how you carry out that change. And just like the children of Israel, when they left Egypt and going to the promised land, a whole generation died in transition because they couldn't make the transition. And I believe even to this day, because people are so sold in to the past paradigm and the traditions of men, till we are dying in transition because we haven't grasped the fact that there is a butterfly on the way. You know, all we can see is the ugliness of the cocoon. And so because of that, we don't understand the necessity of transition so that we can be that butterfly that God has called us to be.
Wow, died in the cocoon. That's powerful. God in the cocoon. So, you know, as you talk about that transition, that's an important point. That's a good point. I now relate back what you talked about earlier about excellence. It's about the process, about what do you go through in order to, you know, of course, being faithful. You use that word that describes you, but you got to be excellent in that being faithful. Is that what you're saying where carrying out through that transition for the Lord's work?
Carry it out. You know, the church is the only entity that is driven by good intentions, you know. just because we have good intentions or we mean well, it's acceptable in the church, you know, because we tell the people to charge it to my heart because God is still working on my head. But the truth of the matter is that we serve an excellent God. And because we serve an excellent God and he has set the standard, then we ourselves, you know, should be excellent and we should strive. And the reason why we should strive for excellence is because we was made for his glory. And all that we do and say should point people to the glory of God. And to do that, we have to do the works of God that represents the God that we serve.
Amen. Amen to that. You know, so with that, let's hold that thought, because that leads right into what we talked about, you know, charge it to our heart, you know, rather than the spirit, where you come to the point to where you're understanding what are some of the ailments, what are some of the things, how you recognize that you're not managing that transition, in a sense, assessing that disease, what we're talked about. And so after the break, we'll bring you back on. We'll pick up those questions. And so we can continue our dialogue around toxic leadership, who, me, ye. So stay with us, friends. You can't afford to miss this. If you got any questions or comments, please call us at 310-861-2331 or even log into our live chat room at Blog Talk Radio to have a discussion with us. So we'd love to hear from you. Please, again, the number 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated.
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
I think it's great for not only from the perspective of learning leadership, learning different qualities that you need, but also who to follow. You know, if you see the leader that you're following right now on the wrong side of that matrix, well, you might want to make a change. You might want to make a change. So not only from, I know for me, it's making me assess my own self. Say, where do I realistically fit? Who can I get to critique me, to be honest with me, on where do I fit on this matrix? We all know what we want to be. But the question is, where are we now? What do we need to do to get there? So look.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
This workshop really is a good thing for being part of the whole community being on cue. As it relates to more than leadership style, but having to do with the needed to be successful in the energy. What did you learn? I learned more about the heart of leadership than the heart of leadership. What Eric Powell does more than she needs makes her careful to be able to come alive.
Thank you
for using this, but it should be
with us. You're listening on cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Our mission here is to equip leaders to lead them where they are by getting us on cue with God's will and his purpose. We're taking calls, of course. Feel free, if you've got any questions or comments for our special guest, Reverend Riley Thornton. It's 310-861-2331. Log into our live chat room at Blog Talk Radio, and we'd love to have you. So today's question Toxic Leadership, Who Me. We're tackling our third part of our series, How to Detox, with Reverend Wiley Thornton, a pastor of Perfecting Holiness, non-denominational church of Greenville, Alabama. And Pastor Thornton, we really thank you for joining us and spreading some great word for us this evening.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I was remiss to, I wanted to share something, but it was on my heart to share it when we were talking about some of the mega churches. And we're not casting a shadow on all of those or some of those. It is what it is, as to the point. And I just want to share a quick experience I'll say one or two or three, I'll say under five, that I've reached out about potentially partnering with. And I know this world's not about me, but ultimately, mm-hmm. once I reached out, in all cases, they decided not to partner with me, I believe, and then in some cases use what I share. And I know this is God's word, and I've dealt myself with that and not mine. And at the same time, it just also shows the whole symptoms we're talking about of really helping to transform the minds of the church to ministry. And in understanding that what we are trying to do is be a part of that transition, in order to get people out of the cocoon to that whole role of excellence. And that's what our ministry is all about. And I just want to share that because I've had that experience. And I'm not saying it's going to continue that way, but it has. That's been pretty consistent with those I spoke with was at that particular level.
Amen.
So it is an amazing thing. So before the break, we were talking about the whole level of excellence, and Lord, of course, has a standard, and this whole order of things that He has in place. And so, you know, part two, Reverend Thornton, is assessing the dis-ease that we went through. We talked about on our last show. How do we know when we're affected by this dis-ease of perverted order? How do we know?
Well, I think one of the things that we will find out is that there'll be a loss of focus. You know, as we talked about earlier, that our priority is to glorify God. And whenever this ease comes in, this toxic comes in, oftentimes it robs God of His glory, or at least attempt to, and we'll find God's glory being relegated to something else other than God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a loss of focus, and then also I believe too that a blurred vision takes place because now the church, the organization, they have lost focus, and they have lost the concept of why they exist. You know, because there has to be a reason why your church exists. You can't just exist because you have someone who can preach. It can't just exist because a group of people wanted to start this church because they didn't want to go to the church they used to. But it has to have purpose. But whenever this toxin comes in, oftentimes the vision is blurred, and we forget why we are assembled together.
So, you know, that is absolutely so interesting when you say lost focus and then blurred vision. It's all about seeing things, right? And that's what come to mind. Even if you get your focus and if you're not aligned with a certain purpose and the Lord's not leading you to that, you still can have blurred vision, if not blinded. And
exactly.
And so when I think about those, you gave an example of why you leave or start a church, you got to have a purpose, and that's why I wanted to set the context with our friends who are listening of why you decided you were standing in the gap. But you saw the gap in order to fix something, and it wasn't about you, right? It wasn't about you.
Right.
But when you sometimes you see people leaving churches and starting something, it's about them, but they're not staying where they are and fixing, understand they have a thorn in their side in a sense, right? And not being able to just manage and cope around that situation. And when they step out, that may not be what they're designed, maybe not be what their purpose is. How do we help people get that focus back in a sense and straighten up their vision?
I think that we have to just question and scrutinize their foundation. You know, scrutinize why they say that God is calling them into ministry, and ask them what are their aims. You know, what's your vision? What's your aim? What are you trying to accomplish? What problem are you trying to solve establishing this church, you know? Because if you're not, if God didn't send you to that place to solve a problem, then I question whether or not you've been sent. Because if God brought you into fruition, then he brought you there so that through you he can solve a problem. So if you don't know why you exist, you don't know who you are called to, I think you have to know where you are called, what you are called to, and who you are called to.
Amen.
So if you don't know these things, that you are trying to establish a church and create a fan base, trying to lure the people in with all types of trickery to convince them in, to saying, come and try something new, then oftentimes you have missed it right then.
You missed it. It shamelessly, I'm going to throw this out there. It has been on cue. You know, it is why are you doing this? What's the vision of this? And then how are you going to do it, right? And then, of course, it has to be attached with Lord Almighty and nowhere else. And it starts and ends with him. And that scrutinized the foundation of what we're going to. So that is so powerful. You know, I want to take us back just for a second, and I just want to share with the audience, we have Reverend Riley Thornton of Perfecting Wholeness Non-Denominational Church in Greenville, and so, you know, he and I go way back, and I'm proud to know him. It's amazing what the Lord has done in his life, and as I look back, though, as we talk about it, look out, and you've always encouraged me. If it's as simple as, you know, in encouraging us to stay to continue to make things happen, you know, when brothers, as we say, around the way would slyly joke and call us college boys when we came home, right? In a sense, slyly tearing us down, right? And so, but the thing is, though, I just say that, and I'll say it in front of our audience right now, it just didn't start for you 2 years ago. Right?
Right.
It didn't start for you when you started the church. It started a long time ago where the Lord has had a purpose for you. And although, just like me, I ran, he called me a long time ago, but in that running, he broke me, molded me, kind of brought me back up where he needs to be, but he also prepared me for what I'm trying to, what we're doing right now. But ultimately, I just wanted to share, you hit on the point about understanding your purpose and being aligned with the Lord. You got to know when he's called you. And so how do people know when he's called you? I think he calls us all, but ultimately sometimes we miss that window. What you think?
Yeah, most definitely. Well, and the thing is that the Bible says that many are called, a few are chosen. And the ones who are chosen are the ones out of the call, you see. And oftentimes when God calls us, I think that God may give us a minor task. And that's just to identify the leadership and even reveal to you the purpose that he has for your life. And that's just as if when I was called a long time ago, you know, but then I went through the seasons of rap music, went through the seasons of black history and black power and all of these things, searching and seeking. But through it all, I believe that God realized that I was still seeking him. And I was still searching him. And so I give God the glory that he graced me to make it through that season. But I think that's what we have to understand, you know, that God, he don't call the perfect, but he perfect those whom he calls. So we have to be willing to accept the call of God on our life and move forward in the things of God. But we have to always do that by faith, and we have to also do that by humility, to know that it's not of our goodness that God called us, but it's because it is a purpose that God has called us to, and it is something that God want to do through us to reveal to other people who he really is.
Amen to that. You know, and shamelessly, you hit on something about, you know, our whole story, you know, all that you talked about, from black power to whatever it is, it's our testimony. You know, and it's a way to connect with folks. So no matter where they are, I can say that you're a type of person, can go anywhere in our community out and connect with people. And that's why one of those chosen. I'm so glad to know that that you move forward. You know, as we talked about the whole notion of encouraging us, and I was remiss to think I was going to bring this up, but ultimately I just wanted to kind of also share the context of what we talked about, this perverted order. You know, we recently saw an article about upward mobility from a socioeconomic perspective in the Southeast. And some cities we know and love were some of the worst cities along those lines where we'll be able to move from a social economic element. And I do think, and I take that back, and I only bring this up now is because, you know, what you would also share and try to protect us from over the years growing up, it's also part of that perverted order. Do you see that as part of this as well, and as causing this break of not only just helping people where they are, but moving them to another medium? I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about social status. I'm not talking about those things. But, you know, Lord's excellence, how do we move people to that?
Well, in our area, in Greenville, I think that one of the problems is that there has yet to be a shift. There has yet to be a shift in leadership. And there's yet to be a shift in resources. So the people who were making the decisions in the 1960s, they are the same people or their offspring that are making the decisions now, which means that personally the same agenda that they embraced back then is the same agenda that's going on now. And that agenda marginalizes the city because of their attempt to prevent certain elements from festering in the community. So I think that what we have to do as a community is that we have to confront the power and seek to make a shift so that now we're in the places of influence, so that now we can advance the community with a new paradigm that will affect
Absolutely.
The people in the present age.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, so with that whole shift, you know, if you're shifting stuff, we started off, we're talking about, as I was talking about, the whole me now culture of where we have this idleness, we have this whole festering of this perverted order within our culture and our society as a whole. You know, the idea around toxic leadership, and I have to share with the audience, this whole three-part series is sparked by you. You know, when you said, we always corresponded through Facebook and now that we're connected to other communication means, but that was our way of connecting and see how we were doing. And I had sent you a note and I hadn't heard from you. And when you said that, you know, you had to take a step away, you had to detox from Facebook. And and how important is it for us to really confront that reality of the world? And so, but really, what did you mean about detox from Facebook, or just detox in general?
Well, I think that we take lightly how impressionable we are and how we are influenced by other elements outside of God. And I think that sometimes that throughout the day, that we are involved with things that fights for the affection that belongs to God, that things that are seeking our attention and our focus. And I think that sometimes we have to pull away from those things, you know, so that we can draw nearer to God, you know, and begin to develop a hunger for God. Because once you move away from the world and the things of the world, then that in itself develops a deficiency in you. And that hunger goes from the things of the world to the things of God. So when you detox from one thing, when you fast from one thing, you are feeding on something else. So you don't just fast, you also feast. So when you pull away from the world, you also feast in God, you know.
Amen. You know, in the way of term it lots of times and help paint the picture for an audience, for me it is, what becomes your point of reverence? And that's kind of our first part series when we teach our own Q leadership class. It is, what do you revere? And oftentimes, what drives you each and every day? What's the first thing you do when you get out of the bed? What's the last thing you do before you go to bed? And what you're thinking about throughout the day? That's usually your point of reference. And it could be Facebook. It could be some game. It could be anything. But if it's not
correct.
God, what you have to understand, and that thing, that creates this whole perverted order on these toxins that we're trying to deal with. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And the thing about it is that when these things come into our life, you know, the Bible says that we drift away, you know. We don't just all of a sudden one day wake up and realize that we have turned away from God. It happens over a period of time and through a process. And before you know it, that these things that these appetites that we have that's not of God, and these things that have caused us to lose focus and distract us, before we know it, we have drifted away to the point to where now we can't feel God, that we don't reverence God like we should, and now we realize that there are idols in our hearts, you know, and those are the toxins that once they enter into our hearts, the Bible says the issues of life flows from the heart. So when you get these toxins in your heart, it flows to every other area in your life, you see.
Amen. You know, you hit on something just a few seconds ago, and you said the word fasting. And, you know, if I think about the whole premise of how Q Leadership came about with the book of Nehemiah, and, of course, in order to really be transformational, it's about Christ. We just used Nehemiah as part of the model in order to kind of frame up the overall curriculum. Although it can cut across no matter what the medians are, but that's really the focus in lots of this. But when I go back to Nehemiah, when he heard about the despair, the desperation the exiles were in, and we heard it, he didn't rush off to do something, right? First thing he did, he just stopped and he wept. So when I stop right there, he stopped and he wept. He had to be in so much pain. So if it's fear, anger, sorrow, he probably went through all that transition of feelings. But then the next thing, what did he do? He fasted. He fasted, and in order to, I believe, to detox himself from all of that weeping, that sorrow, that anger, all those things he felt, in order for him to pray, in order to get in tune with what God has for him. Did your fast, your detox involve fasting? Is that essentially what you're saying, that what you had to fast from Facebook? And if so, how important was fasting in this process?
I think fasting, the basis, but, you know, fasting has to be accompanied with prayer, and
yep.
Fasting has to also be accompanied with consuming the Word of God. But just fasting from Facebook, fasting from TV, certain types of food, you know. And I fasted at the end of the year because I wanted to hear God's voice definitely for 2014. And I want to move all of the distractions out of my way so that I'm sure to hear God's voice, because I wasn't fasting for God. I was fasting for myself so that I can draw closer to God, so that I'm sure that I'm being directed and guided by God, you know. So I didn't want any contaminants. I didn't want anything to contaminate what I was receiving from God. So I didn't want any outside voices, like things of that nature. I wanted to spend more time in the Word, more time in prayer, more time in communion with God, so that when I hear Him, I know that it's Him.
Right. Oh, amen to that. Because that's kind of part of, you know, when I started this journey as well, and I'm not trying to make this about me, but I just want to give people, friends, an example. When I started this journey and I told some of my mentors about what I was doing around leadership, and they threw all sorts of books and was, hey, Eric, you need to read this, you need to read that, you need to read this. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I just wanted to hear directly, get it directly from the text on what that is, because I didn't want anything outside of it influencing what was birthed through this whole ministry. And so would you say that's a good example in order to share with people, really to understand that it comes from Him and not from anywhere else?
Exactly, because you want to give to the people what has been inspired, what has been given to you from God. And that's why I like the first program so much when he was talking about the word versus a word. You know, and it's important that when you are reading the word, then you're going to preach the word, you know. But when you are being influenced by even TBN, you're influenced by other ministries and things of that nature, then you'll find yourself imitating and trying to recreate something that's already been created. But when you draw away and allow God to place what he has for you in you, that original thing that he has called you to that only you can do, when you get in that place, then that's when you receive directions and instructions from God, and that's when you know that it's time to make this move or it's time to pull the reins back. Whatever it may be, you have confidence in that because you believe with all your heart that you're in the right place with God and you're hearing from God.
Amen to that. Amen. As we gave examples, we talk about yourself, and you go to the Bible when you talk about fast, you always think about Daniel. Even our Lord and Savior, as he went through his steps. What are the steps? You mentioned earlier it has to be part of prayer, but how give people that transition, as we talked about earlier, in order to get to that excellence that we're talking about? What are the steps in that?
Well, I think, first of all, that if it's not a spirit-led fasting, it's basically what it is that what I like to call it, it's consecration, you know, that's separating yourself from the world and setting yourself apart unto God. And if it's not spirit-led, then there will be no success in it. You won't achieve what you desire to achieve because you have to be spirit-led to go into a fast. And after you are led by the Spirit to go into a fast, then I think that there is a season of prayer before you begin the fast because you're going to need the wisdom of God to be able to manage your time, the temptation, the desires, all the things that come along with, you know, your detoxing. And so the first thing you have to do is make sure that you're hearing from God, that you are being led by the Spirit, you know. And then the second thing you do is that you go off and spend time with God. You pray and ask God to give you wisdom. And then, and not just give you wisdom on how to fast, but give you wisdom of what you are trying to accomplish through your fast, what you believe in God for, what in the spirit realm that you are fasting for, what in your personal life, in your soul, your emotions, your will, your intellect that you are believing God for, how about your family and your church. And then so now when you go into the fast, now you're going into the fast as an arrow. You have a straight dart that you're going into too, so you know that you're not fasting and wasting time, you know, that you are fasting, but you're also feasting because now God has given you an order to go by to make sure what you're believing God for, what you're and what you're seeking God for. And so then you do that. And I also believe that it is important that when you fast, that that's between you and God. And that's what Jesus said, that you don't go and look like you're fasting and things of that nature. You know, you go, and that's between you and God, because if you begin to announce your fast, then oftentimes you are trying to get these spiritual accolades from people to let them know that you are so deep and that you are so in tune to God and you are so disciplined that you are fasting. But the humble thing to do is that I'm fasting before the Lord. I'm not fasting before men. I'm fasting before the Lord. So we have to know that when we are fasting, detoxing, consecrating ourselves, then that means that this is between me and God. It's not between me and anyone else unless I need someone standing in faith with me for a matter. But it's not announced. It's not announced to the church. It's not announced to the family unless they are ones who prepare the meals and purchase your grocery. But if that's not the case, then that's between you and God. And you set down your the mandate that God has given you, you know, and you go through that mandate, you see. And then once you are through, when you are done with the fast, you can't just jump back into fried chicken, and you can't just jump back into Housewives of Atlanta and Husbands of Hollywood. You have to ease your way back into your regular routine, because if not, then I think that has the potential of shocking your spirit. And before you know it, you go back out of the fast and immediately go right back into the depths of the things that, God had called you out of, you know. So I think that the key word I would say is that you have to strategically fast. Know why you're fasting, know when you're fasting, and know what you're fasting for.
There's a lot of nuggets in there, and I'm going to try to pick some of them up. The first one is really, it's between you and God, and then it's not about you. Would you agree?
Yeah. It's between you and God, but it's not about you because you're being spirit led. You know, so it's between you and God. You're doing it for God, but you're mostly doing it for yourself. You know, because us fasting does nothing for God. God is God, whether we fast or not. You see,
right?
So we do it for our,
He's equipping you during that time.
He's equipping you. Yeah, and you're drawing closer to God. You're believing God. You're connecting with God at another level. Because the thing about it is that when you're fasting, that fasting regulates your whole day. You know, because now you're fasting and you don't have this food, you don't have these distractions. So guess what? You rest better at night. You know,
right.
When you rest better at night, you get up early in the morning. When you get up early in the morning, then guess what? You spend more time with God in the morning. And you find out that now that you're fasting, that your devotional time has enhanced. Your prayer life has enhanced. And then when you're fasting from certain foods, you know. And so I go to the table, and instead of seeing a collard greens and fried chicken and candy yams and things like that, and consuming that, I look on my plate, and I see broccoli, and I see corn, and I see distilled water. And when I look at that and the sacrifice that I'm making based on what I'm consuming, my mind immediately goes to God. Because I know that.
Here's the thing, too. You said something about, you know, one of the fourth parts of this, and I'm going to jump around here for a second. You just can't, after you come out of the fast, you just can't jump back into it. And in a sense,
no.
It's also you can't jump back into fried chicken, or you can't jump back into the caterpillar stage. You know, in a sense, when you go, would you agree, when you go through some of this fasting, you detox yourself from something, that is the greatest time just to stay away from it. If it's whatever it is, would you agree of it? And how do we make sure we get to that point where our lives enhance to the level of excellence? I always connect it back to your initial thought about excellence. How do we ensure that is that the perfect time? Well, is that the perfect time not to really jump back into it?
Yeah, I think that you have to after the time of fasting. That one of the things that we should be praying for and believing God for is discipline. So after the fast, that you should be more. You should strive to be more disciplined. And then you regulate your activities after that. And one of the best reasons to regulate your activities after that is when you embrace and acknowledge the fact of what God did for you in the fast. And so now, because of what God did for you in the fast and what you was able to accomplish in the fast, you know, now you are more sensitive to the things that was drawing you away at the beginning.
Right. I want to give an example for the audience and, you know, just also just kind of share some testimony for me. You know, I went about 4 years ago now. I also went through a fast, and it's really just to stop drinking. And it's not trying to, you know, put myself on a level of whatever, but I went out of that transition, and now it's almost four years coming up where I haven't drinked anything. And it's not just because, you can regulate those things, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't or should not, but I did it for a larger purpose. Number one, this ministry, and then number two was to break a cycle, help facilitate a cycle that was in my family. The Lord used me in a sense in order to try to stop some of that. So that sometimes, you may can go back and regulate, but sometimes you may just need to also, would you agree, just to stay away?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, and I think that the way that you identify that is that now that you're out of the fast, and then you begin to be aware of the affections that you once had for those things that are not there anymore, you know. And so now
right.
Once you identify the fact that now those affections are not there anymore, now I would like to I would like to credit that to through my fast that God has delivered me from this, and God has broke the chain.
In
my family, broke the cycle, you know. And to some of us, to every family, there is a Moses, you know. There's a Moses who's designed to break cycles, to bring your people out. And then when you identify yourself as being that Moses, per se, in your family, then you understand that not only your spirit life, your ministry is involved, but the generations behind you are depending on you coming out of what God has called you out of.
Yep, amen. And you see some of that. You know, on one of your last points, you made a point about aware. And we talked about confronting reality, but making you aware when you come out of it. And I'm going back to one of the questions earlier. Would you agree, when you're aware, you have a focus and you no longer have blurred vision? Would you agree with that? Can you take that a little bit further for me, kind of just to share that, you know, once you're in tune with what the Lord has for you, it can be clear if it's spirit-led.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and you should be. And then you shouldn't have blurred vision anymore. And your priorities should be now in place, because when you're not aware, you're not only aware of where you came from, but you're also now more aware of where God is taking you. And now, because of that, now your loss of focus has been removed, because now you have your priorities back in order, you know, and now you have your vision back in order. Now that you are aware, and now you are focused, and one of the best things you can do now is that now you have the ability to communicate that vision to other people.
Yep, and they'll see it. They will absolutely
see it.
And one of the last points before we take a quick break. You talked about the season of prayer, and that's absolutely vital. And it may be it's a simple, probably trivial question, but I just want to get your response. When is prayer never in season?
Oh, that's a good question. I got you right there. You know, prayer is always in season. The Bible tells us to pray and without ceasing. But I think the emphasis was on the fact that if you are fasting, then you have to make sure that prayer is a priority. You know, Jesus.
Sure.
Said,
yeah.
No,
I knew. I wasn't.
Yeah.
I just want to make that point to people.
Yeah.
To
got you.
When, once you come out of this, you can't let that go. You can't let the prayer part
go.
Right.
No, you're right. You're right. Exactly right. You know. Yeah. Because you know we have to pray at all times, lifting holy hands. You know. So yeah, most definitely.
Amen. Amen. So what we want to do is take a quick break here, and we'll continue to talk up to Reverend Thorne around regarding toxic leadership, Hugh Me, about how do you detox. And stay with us. If you got any questions or comments, please call the 310-861-2331 or log into our live chat room to talk to Reverend Thorne. We would love to hear from you. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue. How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are. By getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Who is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission is to equip leaders to help them leave where they are, to get us on cue with God's will and his purpose, his calling on our lives. We're taking calls. If you got any questions or comments, call us at 310-861-2331 or log into our live chat room on Blog Talk Radio, and we can definitely take your comments or even correspond with you there. So today's question, Toxic Leadership, Who Me, we're tackling that last and third part of the series, How to Detox, with Reverend Wiley Thorndorf, a pastor of Perfecting Holiness Non-Denominational Church of Greenville, Alabama. Thanks for staying with us. So, you know, Reverend Thorndorf, we have one question in the break, and it comes from, it's a good question, and it comes from someone that I know and love in a sense, and as she's sitting here thinking, and she wanted to pose it to you and want to get your feedback on it. So Kennedy?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm great. My question for you is there any other way to detox, in a sense, besides fasting? That's quick.
Is there any other way that you detox besides fasting?
Yeah, is there any other way? Is there another way to do it besides fasting?
Yeah, there are other ways. I think there may be different types of fast. Maybe when we're talking about fast, it don't have to always be with food, so to speak. That it may be some things in terms of entertainment, sometimes in terms of relationships. You know, the Bible even talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about refraining from sexual activity. For a season in your marriage to fast. So there are certain things that you can refrain from. But I think that when we use the word fasting, I think that may not be a broad enough word. So I like to talk about more about consecrating, just coming out of some things, coming out of some worldly things, you know, coming out of certain relationships that you know that don't add to your faith, you know.
Good, good, great. Thanks. Good question from my teenager, right? So awesome. So what should have, is there anything I didn't ask and I should have when we talked about this whole perverted order, how to detox, and a point that you want to make regarding this topic?
Yeah, I think maybe when it comes to detox, I think that when you're talking about from a organization standpoint, I think it is important for us to realize that sometimes it requires the organization itself to go on a fast. Like in the book of Joel, there was times when they called the whole church or the whole all of Israel into a fast. And so when you do that, oftentimes I think that we have to look back and we have to review what's going on, that what is the detox, you know? What are we detoxing from as we look at it from a organization standpoint? You see, what are we detoxing? What are we detoxing from? And then on top of that, then after we review, then I think that we have to begin to reorganize, you know, the organization, because the thing about it is that if you bring change and you change people's activities and don't change their values, then once you are removed, or once when opportunity presents itself, then they revert right back to the same values. So when you begin to detox in terms of a corporate detox, then I think that we have to make sure that we reestablish the values that we're believing that this organization was established on. Because if not, if you just change how people do things and don't change why they do it or why they don't do it anymore, then you give them no reason not to go back, you see. So I think it's important that we go back and we review and then we reestablish. And then after that, I think that we have to re-energize the people. Because once you are detoxed, you know, then you should have more energy, you know, to do what you couldn't do before. And I think that we have to re-energize and build the people up, to re-energize the people, to get them back focused and let them realize, hey, we're still on this journey, You know, we're still moving forward. Some bumps in the road, had some letdowns, some breakdowns, but yet it's still, we are still moving forward. We have to re-energize the people, because now that thing that was weighing you down, it's not there anymore. So now you ought to be able to pursue even more, you know. And then I think that after that, then you have to reestablish leadership, because oftentimes the breakdown and the detox, the toxins are in leadership. And so now that we have rid ourselves of the toxins, now we have to reestablish leadership. We have to reestablish the trust in the people who will still follow leadership after they have been broken by leadership, as they have been let down by leadership.
Wow. So that goes right back to your point of follow you, reestablish values, re-energize people, reestablish leadership to gain that trust and discipleship. This goes back to your point earlier. You got to start with the foundation. And going back to your earlier point too, if we focus from the church to the ministry, if your foundation, it has the Lord as the point, your point of reverence, is about the man rather than a man or a concept or a doctrine or whatever that is, it'd be so much easier to do, to go in and reestablish that leadership and that trust, because that's what is spirit-led, is Lord-led, because you're going to come out as boom, something so totally new. And so it's absolutely important for, to your point, leadership to really understand and move that forward. You would agree?
Yeah, I would definitely agree, because when you think about the transition between Moses and Joshua, there was two things that Israel needed to know. First thing, they need to know that Moses was dead. You know, Moses was dead. So that move of God died with Moses. But the second thing that Israel wanted to know, and they told Joshua, Joshua, we will follow you as long as God is with you like he was with Moses. You know, and so when we begin, so when the transition takes place, you know, we begin to move forward, we have to always remember that God is the focal point. You know, God is the focal point, and so that's what we have to focus on when it comes to moving forward after we have detoxed. You know, that we have to convince the people, hey, listen here, this is still about God. The detoxing was not for us to rid ourselves of God. We was detoxing from the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. And now that we are on cue, now we can go with God.
Amen.
You can follow leadership as leadership follows God.
That's so powerful. Thanks for that transition from Moses to Joshua. You are so, so right. That's so powerful. And as long as God's with him, they will follow you. All that is so powerful. Thanks for that. So to switch gears here for a second, Reverend Thornton, we have Reverend Thornton here from Perfecting Holiness Non-Denominational Church of Greenville, Alabama. What do you want us, the audience, the friends, to pray for you as your ministry grows? What do you want us to be in prayer with you in agreement with?
You know, brother, when you were there with us a month or so ago, you left a word with us that is still festering in our spirit, and that word was impact. And we would just like for our brothers and sisters and friends around the world to pray that God use us to make an impact in the community that we're in. Because you remember when you were there, I told you, I said, brother, you really helped me, because my focus on 2014 was going to be on increase. But when you start talking about impact, and I realized that there can be no increase without impact and a difference being made. So I just ask that you all pray that where we are in Greenville, Alabama, that we make an impact in Greenville, and as God moves us out further, that we still make an impact in advancing the kingdom of God.
Amen. We'll stand and agree with you on that. We definitely will do that. And I appreciate the opportunity to coming to speaking at your church. It was definitely an honor for me. And it was another way of a training ground for the Lord's leading me in so many different ways. It was a delight for me to come in and be a part of that.
Amen. You really blessed us.
Amen. So how do people find you? What can they find Perfecting Holiness Non-Denominational Church, if it's from website or Facebook or whatever that is, in order to kind of connect and follow what you're doing?
Yeah. Right now we have a Facebook page, Perfecting Holiness Non-Denominational Church, but we also have a website, but right now it's under construction. It's down right now as we are rebuilding it, but you can go to our Facebook and like us, Perfecting Holiness Non-Denominational Church. We have some pictures and some highlights on there. We have a couple of SoundCloud sermons on there that people can listen and tune in to.
Okay, awesome. Please go in and actually, I'll link, I think there's a link to it on my page on Q Leadership as well as on Q Radio. I'll make sure it's out there, but you'll be able to link in. There's a couple links, I think, on the invitation for Blog Talk Radio and a few others that you can easily connect with them. So the last question, what's next? What, you know, you went into the end of the year and you're detoxing, you're fasting, and understanding and hearing what the Lord has for you for 2014. So you mentioned, you know, you from a broad perspective, you wanted us to pray for your ministry and just continue to make an impact. So what's next for you in that transition tactically that we need to be aware and have try to support you in?
Well, in our congregation, we have has a brother who is battling cancer, and we've been graced to stand with him as God heals him and God brings him through the transition. But during in the process of this, we began to realize that a lot of times what the church do is throw money at problems. And now we're creating a ministry that's entitled Christ Compassion. And it's our desire to just show compassion to our community, address the needs of those who are going through terminal illnesses or, you know, chronic illnesses, that we can be there and love them and show compassion to them as Christ has shown compassion to us. So, and then to reach out into that local community and reach out to the kids and give them an alternative. And we're looking towards a summer program and things of that nature to let the church know, because one of the saddest things that can happen in a church is that a church comes to a community and then it leaves and nobody ever misses it. So we're trying to be there and make an impact and make a difference there by just implementing small programs, Christ-centered programs, that just distribute the love of Jesus throughout all that we come in contact with.
Amen. We'll be in prayer with you on that. You mentioned earlier in your response about the Christ Compassion, about battling cancer, really doing those things that help improve people's spirit, not necessarily just throwing money. So I would love for you to go out to my sister Gladys' page, Love Scarlet, and that's essentially, well, she just battled cancer, just coming through. She's probably listening right now. That's essentially what her program's all about. Her ministry around Love Scarlet is really being that person of compassion and spirit, moving people beyond just the material things. So it would be great if you get an opportunity and to take a look and see how I could potentially partner with that.
Amen. That sounds great.
Amen.
That sounds great.
Well, awesome. Well, we thank you for joining us. We have been absolutely blessed, and we didn't have any more questions coming through, but just for that one. But I would imagine that the word came through and didn't come back void, because ultimately that's when lots of times when you have a lot of questions, it wasn't clear to them. So you were absolutely clear and on point tonight, and we definitely been honored and blessed to have you with us. And hopefully you'll be able to come back and join us real soon. And anytime you got a topic you want to bring up, absolutely, let's plan it and make it happen.
Amen, brother. Well, I thank you for having me tonight, and I thank you for the invitation in the future. And we're looking forward to working with you and On Cue Ministry, and we just pray God's blessings over what God is doing in your life.
Amen. Well, we thank you for that. We thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, friends, this has been Reverend Wally Thornton, pastor of Perfecting Holiness Non-Denominational Church of Greenville, Alabama. He's really helped us close out this toxic leadership, who, me, and tackling this three-part series and this third part of how to detox. And it's absolutely amazing. We've been blessed with it, with his word tonight. So if you please, feel free to find him on Facebook and continue to support his ministry. He is really making an impact where he is, and as well as his congregation. And we definitely need his prayer support for that. And we will see you real soon. and we will continue our show. And what we're going to try to do, we run, probably got a couple minutes left, and just wanted to talk about, you know, as we started this conversation around using arsenic, comparing arsenic to certain toxins of the world, where it was really the poisons of kings and kings of poisons. And essentially, this is why kings and leaders today have food tasters and cupbearers. And Q Leadership uses the cupbearers as a famous cupbearer, Nehemiah, as an example, especially dealing with some of these complexities for what we call our societal ecosystem. And so lots of times he dealt with this whole perverted order economically, socially, and as well as politically. And understanding that relationship from your environment, the stress, the dis-ease, the relationship that you're healthy can't be overlooked. We must consider the whole spiritual side and treatment of this whole physical, emotional, what I call disharmony. These things, it can affect your body physically, you get tired, it affects everything about your mind, body, and spirit. But you first, we've got to understand and confront the reality that these things exist and start assessing those things. We all have been angered, depressed, afraid, guilty, and jealous at times, and affected our whole being, mind, body, and spirit. And that whole dis-ease, that perverted order, paralyzes us at times. And so when it gets to the point where you really can't move, that you know that your spirit is suffering, and it's probably because of that toxin that it really makes us all susceptible to things that are not of Him. And so we have to believe that relationship with God Almighty is not by a religious performance. It's really helping align in order to strengthen and impact this world, giving Him the glory in everything we do. Although, from the leadership perspective, any leadership starts with an idea, and it begins with the whole divine order, and in order to trust and follow God, as Pastor Thornton talked about in his last piece of how you got to reestablish leadership. And so, as we sum up the whole perverted order and the result of that bad leadership, leadership is not tied to God's will. That's not on cue. Neither, you know, Adam or Eve, any leadership, as we use that as a reference to understand what that perverted order comes from, any leadership needs a leader and a co-signer, a follower. And notice that perverted order we talked about, Satan led Eve and Eve led Adam. And away from that divine order that God had put in place. Adam was a co-signer of Satan's leadership through Eve. And sometimes we have to pick a leader in support of that perverted order, and we covered one last week and lots of times. But the whole point in this is understanding that there are confronting reality. These things exist. These things cause a spiritual crisis between our people, and we find ourselves in a way that's allegiance to things that are not of God. Yeah, these toxins, they breed some spiritual dissatisfaction, but Christ Jesus is really the only source in order to satisfy that spiritual dissatisfaction. Toxic feeds into whole sin, but we know that grace feeds to in order to make sure that's sufficient for us to move beyond what ails us. Those toxins cause people to have fear, but you know grace give us peace. That those toxins, perverted order, gives us a cause to do things, but grace gives us a cause to rest in Christ and doing things through Him. And so that toxin creates this whole spiritual dis-ease, but we must know that grace through the Lord Jesus Christ brings the spiritual health and healing for us. So as you go through our day, let's make sure we on cue what God has for us and on cue with His calling in our lives. And before we chime off tonight, I want to offer thanks, and I have an ask for everyone who chimes in. Please go in and like us on Facebook at On Cue Radio. It's not about the amount of likes, but there's a purpose in that, and understanding how the audience is doing and where we can continue to minister. Put us on your prayer list. That's the second thing I ask you to do. And then thirdly, invite a friend to listen in to the show, not only this show, but also invite for next week. And consider Q Leadership as your leadership curriculum and training for your church and home. It's beyond the radio piece. It's just a facet of it. And so there's a whole diagnostic thought starting with our Q360 to help you understand what type of your propensity to be a transformational leader, what type of leader you are, and you can assess it. You pick 30 people in order to go through the 360 review, and it's nothing like confront the reality of what people say about you and that gap based upon what you think and versus others think. That's what you take to your pastor, your spiritual advisors, or the people that you influence the fellowship with in order to close those gaps. So please, please keep us in your prayers. Invite a friend to the show and consider us in order to impact and be that transition for, as Pastor Thornton talked about, for your church and your ministries. And there's a few things I want to give. All honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of you who tuned in, special thanks to Pastor Reverend Wiley Thornton of Perfecting Holiness Non-Denominational Church of Greenville, my producer, Assistant Kennedy, my better half, best friend and wife, Ty, youngest princess, Carson, my mom, my family, sisters and brothers, all our friends on Facebook, and I dedicate this show to our family once again who lost another loved one, and we celebrate a homecoming back in Greenville on yesterday, and I help them understand that the Lord is always stays with us. We got to stay faithful at the end of the day. So if you'd like to be a sponsor with us, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. This has been On Q. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
Let us help you get on cue.